Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
Now, I have Dr. Christine Domigan from NUI Galway, and she is leading up the SHEAR project in Galway. Good morning, Christine. How are you?
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to everybody listening. Yeah, very well down here in Galway, despite the bit of snow that we had overnight.
Oh, you got snow down in Galway overnight, did you?
We did, and I said, being a North Dublin girl, I know Galway isn't used to it, but North County Dublin, Meath, would be renowned for it. So I was quite surprised this morning to wake up and see beautiful white-covered hills.
Well, as you know, on the north side of Dublin, the sun always shines.
Yes, it does.
It's beautiful sunshine. It's actually, what is it, 25 degrees here at the moment.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and you know I wouldn't tell a lie.
I know that, Michael. Very trustworthy.
Christine, could you do us a favour? And before we get into the SHEAR project and so forth, could you explain to us what is the difference between social marketing and what we call commercial marketing?
A very interesting question. I guess the easiest way, Michael, to think about it is to look at, you know, take any of us and look at our average day. From waking up in the morning, we may be using our mobile phone and its alarm. Breakfast, having cornflakes or a cup of tea, coffee or some toast. The clothes that you wear, the way you get to work, whether you cycle to work or you take public transport or drive your car. All of these aspects of our lives are influenced by commercial marketing. So we have companies and organizations that sell products and services to us. They use advertising. They use a lot of research to develop those products and services. They use branding. They use pricing strategies. They use what we call place strategies. You know, where do you buy the products? Do you buy them in a shop? Do you sit on your laptop in the evening time and go online searching for information? So commercial marketing has a toolkit that helps us buy the products and services we want that add to our lives and satisfies a lot of our needs and wants. Social marketing does the very same. Social marketing takes those toolkits. So we take things like where a product or service is. We take the pricing of that product and service, the communication, positioning, packaging, labeling of it. But instead of looking at products such as cornflakes and cars, we look at social issues and social challenges and social needs that people have. So people might want to be healthier. So you might have young kids and you're smoking and you decide it's time you want to give up smoking. You want to be able to go out and play football and run up and down the garden with those kids. So that's what social marketing does. It looks at behavioral change and looks at using the very powerful and influential toolkit that commercial marketers use. And we use the same methods and concepts to help people get more physically active, to help people give up smoking, to help people recycle, you know, to help people improve the quality of their life.
So it's actually to benefit society.
Yes, Lakshmi, it's very important. Social marketing works with communities and listens to communities and what they want, and works with them to design a better way forward, improving their quality of life, their health, and then that also helps society as well.
Yes, that's the main point, isn't it? Like,
yes.
Behavioral changes are for the benefit of the person.
Yes. And, you know, with social marketing, this is all about voluntary behavioral change. So
yes,
people have to want to make those changes themselves.
Yes.
So we work with people to design a way forward.
Yes.
So you're looking, you know, at working with people rather than for people or at people. So this isn't a top-down strategy telling people what to do.
Yes.
It's more listening and learning and devising a way forward that works for everybody.
So you have to work with other disciplines as well.
Absolutely, Laxmi. Yeah. We, all of our work here in NUI Galway and in social marketing would be multidisciplinary. So some of our work on the health side, we are working with GPs and we're working with epidemiologists when it comes to antimicrobial resistance. We have been doing a lot of work with safe food, for example, looking at obesity, truck drivers, the Irish Heart Foundation. And then when you turn to the environmental domain, we work with environmentalists looking at biodiversity, looking at green and blue spaces.
Could you tell us something about the project that you're doing now?
So if we have a look, we know anecdotally that your environment is very important to your health. So we know that having access to blue and green spaces, water quality, air quality, noise pollution, all of this impacts on how you feel, your sense of well-being, your health, both mental health and physical health. So there's a lot of work going on all around Europe, and Ireland would be at the forefront of this work, examining kind of how our health and our environment are linked, and phrases like environmental health, health and well-being are phrases that capture this new area. The particular study that we're looking at is SHEAR Wellbeing, and SHEAR stands for Socioeconomic Health Environmental Research. So we're looking at pulling three very broad strands or very broad domains together. We want to take health knowledge, environmental knowledge, and then societal knowledge, and have a look at how all of this huge data comes together to look at the quality of life, to look at our communities, how we design them, and you know what it's like to live on a day-to-day basis. And pulling this knowledge together, the ultimate aim would be to improve the design of our communities, to improve the use of our resources, to improve planning, decision-making, so that the quality of our lives improves.
For instance, pollution, say air pollution. I think there was a report, there's a report in Trinity, they're doing a research project on air pollution. For instance, how would you implement this sort of social marketing as an example?
Well, in this particular study that we're doing, we're concentrating on water quality and we're concentrating on blue-green access. So if I give you an example in the blue space or what's called blue health, we know from findings as far afield as New Zealand and Australia and also here in Ireland that having access to blue spaces, so that could be something like a beach, and we heard Owen talking about Howth, for example, and how lovely it is to go there for a walk and to switch off and to relax. So we know that not only having access to, but using blue and green spaces is good for our physical health and for our mental health. And you would look from a social marketing perspective, you might pick an issue that's of importance to a community. So a community might say, well, we have a group of teenagers and they feel isolated, they're concerned, they're not talking to friends. And you might say, well, let's have a look at how surfing as an activity, as a focus, might help with some of these issues that are of concern to the teenagers and of concern to parents and teachers.
Or football.
So, sorry?
Or football.
Or football, yes. or any kind of physical activity.
Yes.
So again, you know, we come back to this point. It's what's important to the community. So for some people, surfing's important, but for others, it would be football, it could be rugby, it
yes.
could be horse riding, mm. it could be canoeing.
Mm.
So it's very important that you capture, you know, what's of value to the community.
Yes, yes.
And then through conversations, through research, through listening, through observing, you start then to say, well, maybe we could use surfing or we could use football, as you're saying, and we might be able to design a package. We might be able to design a 12-week league, or we might be able to design a learning activity that has awareness and knowledge outcomes built into it, but also has health outcomes built into it.
That's, I have to say, is very interesting mm. because the thing that, from what you just said there, springs to mind to me is back in the 90s, Ireland started to do very well internationally in soccer. And it was always said that, you know, that was the start of kind of a change in the mindset of Irish people. But there was no one ever captured kind of any data around that. And from what I can, if I'm correct in what you're saying, the SHEAR project is going to collect all this data of, you know, things happening and what are outcomes, and that we'll be able to see a bigger picture going forward of what is influencing social behaviour, economic development, the environment, different things like that. Am I on the right track there?
Completely, Michael. Absolutely. You have it in one. There is a but. The but, as you also identified when you were talking about, you know, the economic issues and social issues, this is extremely complex
mm-hmm.
because humans are complex. So how we react and how we respond, and our creativity and our innovation, it means that, you know, it's not a case of A equals B equals C. It's not, the big picture isn't as straightforward as that. So the big picture isn't a ball of wool where you find a starting point and you can roll out the ball of wool. It's more like a bowl of spaghetti. And there's a lot of factors and issues at play, and those factors and issues, like your attitudes, your awareness, your mindset, the facilities that are available to you, they're constantly changing as well. So the SHEAR project, it's certainly about trying to get to understand these issues more than we understand them now. And yes, the dream would be to be able to say this is how it works, but in reality it's going to take more than just this project to achieve that. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in Ireland on other facets as well, but basically yes, big picture is where we're going.
And it will just like in a normal commercial marketing sense, that you pull together all your data underneath, and then that gives you the ability to look at it and develop a plan. So I take it that this is going to then allow the government here or in Europe to have a look at this data and then start to build plans around that.
Yes, now one of the things that's really important for us as part of this project isn't just, you know, the hard data that's kept in databases. We also want to go out into a community and share that data with the community and get the community's reaction and see, is this how they experience the world and this data? What would they add to it? And that's really important, because that's when we can start to ask, well, what could we do to improve the community? What can we do to improve health, to improve well-being? Because very often people have very powerful suggestions and solutions themselves that they know will work in their lives. So getting their view and their suggestions for a way forward is as important as understanding the big national environmental and health data. And the other benefit to that is that that then does give us a roadmap that says, okay, you can go to a different community and some of the issues are going to be very different in another community, but here is a general roadmap and a way for the community to bring about change themselves.
Yeah, back in 1997, I was working for Quinsworth at the time, and Tesco came in and took over.
Yes.
And one of the first things they did, and they did it with both staff and with customers, they held focus groups. They brought staff in, they sat them down, and they asked staff what they thought of the company, of how it worked, what they thought of their jobs, how that worked, what was good, what was bad, what was, you know, just got them talking. And they went out and they did the exact same in every store with the customers as well. They held a number of focus groups with every store customers group as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they collated that together to give themselves, as you say, a roadmap for how to move the business forward. And am I thinking on the same lines that this is something similar, is that you will go out and you will talk to people in the community of how different things have affected them and how they see them?
Completely, Michael. Absolutely. You know, going back, you asked about commercial marketing, social marketing. They're both marketing. So one of the cornerstones of marketing is to listen to your client, listen to your customer. You can do that through focus groups. You can also do it through surveys and observation, and that's exactly what we're doing as well. So we would go one stage further. So rather than just listening to community members and to people who want to change their behavior, we would say we don't just want to listen to you, but we want to listen with you. And so where we're going is saying, look, you know, anybody can create change in their own life, but we want to co-create change that will last beyond a campaign or an intervention. So we want this to be sustainable change, which means we will do focus groups, but then we will also say, you know, we've got some ideas about products or services that might help, but we also want you to share your ideas and to shape the product and the service, which is what commercial marketing does as well.
But do you think that it's something to do with, for instance, you go to the community and it's not necessarily like a focus group? It is a focus group and not a focus group, because you are actually listening and not only hearing.
Correct, Lakshmi, absolutely. We are listening to what's important to people. We're listening to what they value.
Yes.
So rather than telling them this is the best way to exercise or this is the best way you know, to improve your mental health, we listen to what their daily life is like and
yes.
say, well, would this fit? Is this of value to you? Would this help you? So just like Michael was saying, you know, some, or like you were saying, some people like football, some people like surfing.
Yeah.
From a social marketing perspective, it doesn't matter whether it's surfing or it's football. Mm. That's very personal to you. The big point is that either way, you're going to get more physically active, and when you're more physically active, both your physical health and your mental health improves and your sense of well-being improves.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense to me. And we still have Owen here with us. So I'm going to ask Owen what he thinks. Mm. What do you think? Does it make sense to you, Owen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just thinking there about even myself. It's kind of like, it's different courses for different horses, like, you know. And when I was in school, I didn't really, the way they taught school to me didn't really suit me. I was a bit of a dreamer in a way, like a daydreamer. And I needed more one-to-one. And it's each individual, I suppose, matters, like, you know. And when I was in school, the curriculum didn't really suit me collectively, like, you know. I needed more of a one-to-one to be taught, like, you know. So I suppose that's kind of what.
Yeah, well, it's actually, we've interviewed a number of people on that subject of education, and I think what Christine is doing here is something that has been done in a way in education. Mm. That yeah. They have looked at what are the needs of people, and nobody's is the same.
Exactly.
Like, some people like to be, like, their education to be, show me how to do it now, and I'll do it. Some people like to be, you know, to be a verbal, just, you know, or a written instruction, and they can go away and do it.
Yeah.
And some people like to actually just get in and start doing it themselves, and then to get instructed as they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think what Christine is saying here is that they're going to be listening to what everybody's saying.
Exactly.
Looking across the board. And am I right, Christine, in this, that you're not going to be telling anybody what to do? This is for somebody to be able to, that you can build a plan from this, from looking at what the outcomes have been and what people are saying back to you.
Yeah, very much, Michael. It's very much what Owen is saying. You know, different courses, different horses. We would say it's, you know, one shoe does not fit all sizes. Mm. So if you take a lot of our educational approaches, you know, to smoking, to road safety, we've learned that telling people what to do doesn't work in every situation. So we've moved on from that and the successes that brought, and saying now we have to have a look at the different reasons why people smoke. So some people might smoke because it allows them to relax, it's 5 minutes out. Other people might smoke because all their friends smoke and that's all they ever knew. So social marketing breaks down the different groups of people that are out there and gets to understand what they're looking for, you know, what matters to them. And like commercial marketing says, okay, if it's your children's health and well-being and your children's fun that matters to you, well, then we can design a physical activity program, a no smoking program that delivers that benefit to you. Just like a car manufacturer or, you know, like any of the clothes manufacturers, retailers, they sell different types of clothing, different styles of clothing, depending on what we like and don't like. In our case with the Share Project, what's very important is that we share the knowledge we already have. We share the scientific knowledge and the evidence base that's there with the community, so the community can factor that in to their thinking and to their understanding of what's happening in their life.
We have, I think, come to the end of our time. I think the SHEAR program, I think it's a very exciting project. I think it's something that should have been done many years ago, because I think in this country we do a lot of our planning blind, and that we haven't got the, we don't look back and we haven't got the data built up to show, you know, that the outcomes that of previous plans and also of what people felt of them. And you understand what I mean, that we don't have that background data that we should have. to build proper plans, proper social plans, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Well, we have some. I mean, we have made progress, but there are gaps there as well. And, you know, I suppose our data and our systems are behind where our thinking and our knowledge is. So some of the job of work is to close that gap. But if you're willing, perhaps we can come back in a few months' time and share some of the results with you.
That would be absolutely fabulous. We'd love to do that.
And in the meantime, we should all be getting out there and getting tickets to Owen and the Confession Box, because it sounds like it's going to be a great gig.
Oh, yeah.
You put a big smile on Owen's face.
Well, that was beautiful music.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Christine.
Thanks a lot, Christine.
Thank you very much, and all the best with the project.
And thank you very much, Michael, Laxmi, and Owen as well.
All the best. No, Owen, thank you for dropping in today.
Thanks, guys.
Really, really enjoyed us, and long may the bromance continue.
I'm never going to limit down. No. Thanks a million. Thanks for having me.